Please enjoy this ringback tone while your podcast is reached.
This is Raquel and Chelsea, and you're listening to Baroque Bitches. I shall fall for grace of God, where no doctor can relieve me if I'm buried beneath the sun. But the angels won't see me. Let me go, boys, let me go, boys. Let me go down in the mud, it's all a try.
Welcome to Baroque Bitches.
Bitches.
Your art, history, gossip podcast. I'm Chelsea.
A bonus episode. I'm Raquel.
Yes, and we have a bonus episode today. Yeah. So how's life?
For me?
Yeah.
Fucking, I'm sick again. So sorry again to all the misophonia people. I swear to God, one of these days, I'm not going to be disgusting and nasally, but we're good. I actually, I had my friends over yesterday.
Amazing.
My two, one of two friends.
How
that
are you
I
making
have.
Friends, dude? I can't
through
do
school.
It.
Yeah, through the kids. Like, so that's what I realized. Like, because I work remotely, so I'm never gonna meet people from work, which is a blessing to me.
Yeah,
because my job's really boring. So I feel like I don't. Yeah, you guys are listening. Sorry, but anyway, I don't think they are.
They get it. They get it.
Fucking
not. They get it.
but yeah, so through school, like the kids go to school and
mommy
my
friends.
You know, Diego goes to a really like hippy dippy liberal arts little preschool, so of course there's like cool ass parents.
Good.
So we got together, did some day drinking. I'm fucking exhausted.
Oh no.
But I'm still here.
Yeah.
And daylight savings is kicking our ass, too.
Yeah, spring forward,
it's like
everybody.
Fucking, it's 8 p.m. right now, and the kids are still awake. It's just a joke. Yay. It's light outside here. So, yeah. How are you doing? How's it going?
Pretty good. We have a very, very special guest today.
Oh, my God. The most special guest.
The most special guest.
I'm so happy she's here.
I'd like to introduce the lady of the lake and the queen of the universe, Miss Anne Lockman.
Yay! Ooh. Thank you so much for having me. What an honor.
She's gracing us
with honors
her,
all ours.
She's gracing us with her presence today because she has some personal connections to our topic today and possibly shed some light and fun stories and all that good stuff ahead for you guys. She's been my friend since middle school.
Long time.
Yeah, long time. We survived middle school, and I would enthusiastically kill a man for this bitch. I actually did have a dream.
Oh, no.
Yes, my Miami dream. So, like, I did have a dream where me and Anne were, for some reason, in some Airbnb in Miami. I could tell it was Miami because everything was, like, white.
Yeah,
and
sure,
modern.
Sure. Lots of spray tans.
Very, yeah, like, very modern, fancy house. And there was something where she like killed a guy. I don't know how she killed the guy.
Oh my God. Yeah, you told me about
She kind of like came. I remember her coming in and she's like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, what do I do? What do I do? And it was like, it's cool. It's cool. And I remember her partner is running around in the background, stressing out, like, oh my God, we got to call the cops. I'm like, shut the fuck up about the cops. We're not calling
Nobody
anybody.
Nobody said anything about the cops.
It apparently was very stabby. So I'm honestly like a little
there
flattered. Do you think I could handle that level of face-to-face confrontation? I'm very much an avoidant. But you know what? The dream just feels like it holds some kernel of truth for me. Like, I feel a little bad for putting all of us in that situation, to be honest.
It's fine. It's fine because I handled it. Of like, okay, it was a lot of blood in the bathroom. I don't know what happened in the bathroom, why she fought somebody in the bathroom. But I remember cleaning. I'm like, dude, get the bleach. Let's go.
Let's go now.
And we can take out a boat. And we can take him in the middle of the ocean. Nobody will know.
You know, it actually rings true that like if I were ever in that situation, you would be the friend to call.
Oh, yeah.
Unquestionably.
Cops. Shut the fuck up about cops. The fuck? No, no, no.
Said anything about cops.
Everybody turn your phone off right now.
I'm definitely glad it was... I'm definitely yes. glad it was just a dream.
It was just a dream, thank God.
But then I did end up going to Florida for like a bachelorette thing like the next, in the few months after that.
So it was, and I was like foreshadowing.
It's going to be finally happening.
I'll book a ticket. Let's go. Oh, let's do this God. Thing, Florida. Bachelorette party too. I feel like that's murder. Murder might happen.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Murder stuff happened. We had to kill a guy. Because we had to.
We had to.
It's not like, don't feel bad about killing him. He had to die.
But no, but I feel like that is like our story, our history. Like we went through like the dark shadows of the soul together, middle school, yeah. like lest we ever repeat it. Dude. Like, absolutely not. Like,
so were you with it? Was that the Catholic school years?
Yes. Yeah. We went to St. Mary and All Angels School. I believe mm-hmm. it was more of a Presbyterian situation than actually Catholic, but they did okay. do really Catholic shit. Like we did do like eating Jesus and stuff.
Oh, communion.
I remember eating Jesus, and I remember Ash Wednesday, we put the stuff on our head.
Yeah, that is. It's like a Catholic fusion church. It's a fusion I've never really situation. Heard of that.
For sure. It was a fusion
Episcopalian.
Situation.
Episcopalian. Like, they were into the transubstantiation. Like, they were into it.
Yeah. Yeah, we had, there was a lot of, like, the sex ed is more like, if you take a piece of cake from the thing and then you're going to be left, your husband's going to be left with no cake. And like that kind of thing. I'm like, are
oh my
we?
God.
Yeah. But like, what if this cake, like, knows what to do? You're going to be really happy with the cake, girl, right?
The cake is going to be enhanced by the time we're getting into it. And we did, that's where we met was, we met at St. Mary's because she mm-hmm. moved from, that was from Singapore, right, to Southern California, yeah. to Orange County.
Anne has so, like, you are just such a, like, well-lived woman for how young you are. I would just, like, need to know all of the, there's so much mystique there, yeah. for sure.
Oh, thank yeah. you, beautiful. I don't know. I've dedicated my later years to staying in one place and being domestic as fuck, but, but yeah, I was very fortunate to have, like, traveled around for my, like, family's jobs and stuff when I was a kid, so really neat experiences.
So when you met, she was like coming from Singapore,
yes, and came into
did Chelsea
St. Mary's.
Just like welcome you with open arms, or how did that go down?
Okay, so we'll get into the story. So I started at that school at like third grade, so I already kind of like established a little bit of a friend group. And at that point, I was really trying my hardest, even though I was too weird to be popular. I was really trying my hardest to be popular because you have to. Sure.
As you do.
You
yeah.
got to try to figure it out.
You're like 12 at this point.
Yes. Like, yeah. So we were looking at maybe fifth, sixth grade type of situation. Sure, and, I started kind of veering away from the popular group a little bit because once I got infiltrated, I was like, oh, you bitches fucking suck.
They were mean.
All of you are
they
were mean yeah. and conformist. And it was like, sheeple. Oh, I seriously remember being like, I'm interested in art. Do you guys want to go to an art museum? And I remember them saying like, bitch, no, don't be telling people that, dude. That's weird. Of like, oh.
Okay, cunty. Okay,
right.
Cunty
yeah,
energy.
Purses.
Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot. I don't have a brain. I only like fashion.
Yeah.
Taking an interest in anything.
And Freddie Prinze Jr.
was horrible.
Yeah.
Freddie Prinze
yeah.
Jr.
Yeah. Setting yourself apart in any way was like so wrong in the 90s, 2000s. And God forbid you're fat on top of it.
Oh.
Jesus.
Oh, rough times. I will not, you cannot pay me enough to go back to those times.
Oh my
times.
God, no. God, no.
Horrific.
But I do love that we name checked the school specifically to be like,
I
oh,
want
hey,
you to know.
Specific school name. We did not enjoy the experience.
Aliso Viejo. Same here.
Hard
But hard so I started kind of veering away from some of the popular girls.
Sure.
And
good
I found this lovely girl named Jill. Jill mm-hmm. Johnson, if you're listening. We kind of lost touch at some point. But I found this lovely girl And she was into Linkin Park and like cool alternative things. We were like, oh, I kind of like this dark stuff.
She lived outside the system.
Yeah, she goes to Hot Topic.
She's cool. Yeah, she's still a cool lady.
You go to Hot Topic?
Yeah.
Are you like any alternative band?
Yeah. And so I started hanging out with Jill, but Jill also had this another friend, Anne, which I think we were like more acquaintances for a little while, because I was still like in between worlds of still wanting to be cool and popular,
right. Sure,
but also being like these bitches kind of suck, and I'm you know,
you're still figuring it out. This. You don't have to, you don't have to be dedicated to one thing.
Yeah, I'm still unpacking that this finally they're starting to accept me a little bit, and they're all garbage. So I'm like, fuck, like
trash humans.
What did I do all this work for of making them like me? Because they're not cool at all. And this other girl that's not popular is kind of cool, and she has this other friend that I don't think she likes me, but I'm gonna keep trying to figure it out. Okay, so we end up going to this Christian retreat for our school, and it was like, okay, you go to a church, and there's a guy, Sideburns Josh, that has a guitar and is cool, and we're going to talk about God. Yeah.
They rely on his sexual charisma to seduce us all into the way, the life.
Into being pure.
It is weird how they get the, like, young 20s dudes to hang out with the, like, teens.
Yeah, tweens.
Like, very, very creepy, predatory, like, and not a good look.
I'm sure, like, we live to hope everything was above board, and we just, like, quietly were horny for Sideburns Josh just because he was there. You know, I don't think that he ever, like, acted out besides just, like, having those sideburns, which was a red flag, like, I have to say. Like,
yeah,
no one made him do that.
You have fuck, though, that was the look in the 2000s. Mark McGrath, just want to highlight that name. Freddie Prinze Jr., those were the hotties of that time.
Freddie Prinze Jr. is the vibe of Sideburns Josh. But he had bigger sideburns.
They were big.
They were big.
And, like, I do think, too, like, there's a lot of hugging at these things. So they also, I think it's like a chemical warfare. They trick you. You're releasing all this oxytocin. Like, no one touches. Like, middle schoolers are weird and smelly and, like, kind of gross and, like, sexual. And, like, so no one's touching you. No one's hugging you. And then you go to this full day of, like, religion, Jesus, and singing songs about love and joy, and you're hugging boys, and it's like, maybe there's something in this. And this iconic moment, strong. They're like, how are you gonna bring Jesus back out of, you know, after friggin' camp is over, like, how are you gonna bring Jesus back into your life? And all these popular kids taking the mic and being like, I'm gonna do this bullshit. And this is the moment. If you think I didn't like Chelsea right away, I had a pretty good reason.
A really good reason. And so I get up on the mic because they say, you know, how are you gonna bring Jesus in your life? And I'm gonna bring Jesus into my life by not hanging out so much with all the popular people and hanging out with people that are less popular than me. And I was completely convinced and completely like, oh, she's going to, because I was thinking about Anne of like, this is how I'm going to win her over.
I was going to be so moved by the charity. Yeah.
She'll see that I'm a popular girl.
It's like Brittany Murphy and Clueless is going to happen. There's going to be a makeover segment. She's going to be all of a sudden be the it girl. We're going to take over the world.
I had this whole plan in my head exactly like that of like, she's gonna notice me and be like, I think she's doing good. She's doing a good thing. I was very, very righteous about it.
And Anne, how did you feel about it? Did you know it was for you?
I had this feeling. I was like, you better fucking out. It was a small school. There weren't that many, like, outsider kids. Like, it was, like, me and Jill and, like, three other and, like, this poor Russian lady. Honestly, like, it was just, like, this one Russian girl, she was just Russian. Like, that was the only reason wasn't cool enough to hang out with everyone. Oh, like, literally did not take very much. And another girl, she was just, like, too into ice skating.
She was too into ice skating.
And it was like, ooh, she can't sit here. And it's like, these are probably lovely people forever. They're traumatized by like years of being like habitually excluded from.
Like, how dare you have a passion? How exactly. dare you have a personality?
Exactly.
Like, we are vanilla, maybe a little sprinkle on Sundays, but like, it's so how dare you want chocolate? Though.
And what's interesting, we talk about, oh, they were monsters. They were children too, you know? So it's just interesting how like a toxic culture can spread and disseminate through like literally children. But yeah, so basically I thought I was a charity case for like a few weeks. You but were. She just didn't get lost. And I was like, can I not participate in this like volunteer project? But I was not given that opportunity. I only had the one lunch table to sit at. There was nowhere to go. But I'm so glad. But because here we are today. Wow.
I know. Who would have thought?
Who would have thought? I just went ahead and invited myself into her life.
Chelsea's so charitable. Doing God's work.
She still
logs
the hours that God's she spends time with me and like sends it to her counselor. And it's like, you graduated, dude. Like, you don't have to do service hours anymore.
Nope. I'm still out here working.
Sideburns Josh working for the pool Lord. Is long. But, so next Sunday... Is this holiday important to you, Anne? Anne's Irish. What is that? You
That's
know.
Why she's here, by the way.
That's why she's
representing all of Ireland. All of Ireland.
It is my honor and appropriate privilege. I'm so fucking American. Like, there's nothing like traveling outside of the States. I do recommend it to make you feel so American.
Sure.
Like, oh, no, yeah. That's not what I was going for, but it's what I am.
You know? Yeah. They can smell it.
I am fortunate. Yeah. I'm fortunate to have an Irish foreign daddy. And he used to wear like the same pair of Kelly Green pants every St. Patty's Day as like an honor tradition until they didn't fit anymore. But like, no shade. Like,
we get that.
Styles evolve too. But yeah, well, I think like as far as I know, like the history of St. Patty's is it's way more of like a Irish American thing than it used to be an Irish thing, right? But you know, the Irish people aren't going to like fight back on like, oh, we're partying. Like, we'll get on board. We'll figure this out. Like, we're going to do it too. So, but it oddly does feel like sort of, it's almost like an American tradition that was exported back into Ireland. So it's like a fun little roundabout.
Lucky charm.
So yeah, I mean, I think there's any day that you get to just like celebrate Irish stuff. Like, you don't have to be Irish to celebrate this. Everyone can be a little Irish. Like,
yeah, you're wasted.
Yeah. I don't know the numbers, but it's something like there's only like a few million people in Ireland, but like they have spread their seeds and sown their oats all over the world. Like, you cannot escape us. So like the diaspora or whatever is fucking strong. And I love that. There's so many different shades and flavors of being kind of Irishy around the world. And like, it's great to celebrate that because I don't know, they're not bombing anybody, you know? So you can just celebrate that identity without threatening the identities of others, pretty much, which is something that I love.
Yeah, no, that's so true. I actually have never thought about it that way. And I have like, been like, man, I fucking love St. Patty's and I like know nothing about it. So this was like a nice way for us to learn more about it. And also like have you here to correct us if we've never seen it for fucking but other than the pants, does your dad do anything fun or did your family do anything fun for St. Patty's?
Let's see. Gosh, when we
did have
to...
a girl come by and do the dances.
We used to have a big back when we, you know, before they'd like retired and downsized. Amen. They're so happy now to have the simpler, cooler life. But before that, yeah, we used for a while. We had a big St. Patty's party every year, and we would get like all these corned beef tacos from the local pub, which was, just felt like a beautiful cultural. Like, yes, we're Irish, but we're fucking Californian too, you know. Right. And so yeah, we'd have a big party, and then yeah, a great family friend of ours was a beautiful Irish dancer, and she like they brought a whole like mini little stage and did a performance. She did break her hip later that day. So I think that might have been the last party. That is honestly, like, Irish dancing is pretty hard on those joints.
Yeah.
So it's like a fun memory. And also it's like, let's not linger too hard thinking about our potential. What part did we play? I don't know. I think she's doing great now. So everything's fine.
All right. Well, we can get into some traditions and mythologies today. So we can go ahead and get started.
On the 4th of July, 1806, we set sail from the sweet.
The Irish are super. Superstitious. Good luck and bad omens seem to dictate Celtic culture. And today, we're going to explore ancient Irish fairy lore and a little bit about Mr. St. Patrick that originates thousands of years ago. So we're talking prehistoric mythologies and traditions that have been passed down orally. From generation to generation for thousands of years and have been interpreted and misinterpreted in many different ways throughout history. And today, oh, cut that part out. I was going to introduce Anne right there. So there's a lot on the origins of Celtic mythology. So we are giving the Cliff Notes version of where fairies come from or the fae folk come from. So let's get into the people that have protected and passed down these fairy stories orally. The Druids. So, who are the Druids? The Druids are high-ranking members of the priesthood for Celtic religion. They are teachers, judges, medical workers, magicians, advisors, pretty much fucking everything. They are the dudes and the chicks to go to for anything. They also wrote fucking nothing down. So that's why everything is oral here. And since they wrote nothing down, their doctrines and practices have been misinterpreted and even kind of stolen by other cultures. So where do fairies fit into all of this? And why do they keep stealing my spoons? So the first fairy origin story that we can gather from native polytheistic druid communities is that fairies supposedly originated from divine supernatural beings called the Thuadunon, who were banished to live underground. They weren't considered the fairies that we know today, and the name fairy or fae was introduced a little later on. But they are other mythological races that live in Ireland and often interact with each other and non-supernatural, like natural people. So everything's like all really mixed up with real history and mythological history. They're all...
Yeah, there's like this lore that kind of gets interwoven into everyday life, right?
They're squished together. Yeah. So it was kind of funky to kind of figure out of like, oh, they're...
And literally, I'm just like picturing Lord of the Rings. I know it's in a different area, but it's like, it would be nice to just like live in like a fairy place where things are magical a little bit. I want to be living now and just have fairies come in and like talk to me and stuff.
Let's see if they're friends or foe. So these supernatural people, they include the Fomorians. They're like kind of angry giants. And the Milesians, who are the ascendants of the actual natural Irish people or Gaels, who drove the Thuadunon underground. So for what I can gather of the Fomorians, they're like semi-demonic. So these giants are not good. And the Thuadunon are semi-divine. So they're a little bit better, I guess. And there's like a lot of fighting and drama between all the races for a very long ass time, including like in between with the regular natural people, the Irish people. So basically, because of all the war, they had to come up to some sort of agreement at some point, to which the Thuadunon would rule the lands underground and the Milesians would rule the lands above. Okay.
Okay.
Where the fuck do fairies come into all this? So the Thuadunon had to live out of the sight of the regular, boring, normal people, but they still wanted to interact with them sometimes. Sometimes for good, and sometimes for debauchery. Bacchus! So they would often show up as normal-ass people, and sometimes they would show up as little people, and they're often referred to as little people. but
got it.
They're not really the fairies as we know them. So what about the fucking fairies? Well, they are now known as fairies, and who can we thank for that? None other than the Christians.
Yeah. Evil, 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 evil.
All right, so the Christian monks in the Dark Ages, or the Age of Faith. That's why we call it the Dark Ages, because it's Age of Faith. We're like, okay. We have this one God now and this one Son of God situation, and we can't be dealing with this whole divine beings living among us thing, so we need to demote them. Now, one cool thing about the Christians is that they write stuff down, but mostly interpreting a situation to fit their agenda. Okay, so yeah, what happened when Christianity collided with our nature-loving, witchy druid stories? Well, they had to call their little nature spirits fallen angels, or like angel subordinates, in order to fit them into the context of our little holy Bible.
The bad angels, but not bad like, enough to be like...
Pretty much like naughty angels.
Naughty angels.
And of course...
Naughty, naughty.
Yeah, on top of that, they're stealing their super fun traditions of the druids and repackaging it for themselves, for the Christians. So...
Right.
Like our Christmas special. So check out our Christmas
special. Like they do with every fucking thing ever. Every pagan thing
they
ever.
They like it still. But they gotta figure out how to fit in.
They're just not very creative.
I guess not. I mean, have you read the thing?
It's all just stolen material. Oh, they're basically Andy Warhol.
So, of course, many Christians denounce anything to do with fairies or nature spirits or semi-divine beings, blah, blah, blah. There's one God and all that. Well,
and it's real.
And Jesus and all of the angels and archangels and the saints. Oh, yeah, and Satan. So, fucking whatever. But the Celts were like, well... We have been dealing with all these myths for a while now, and why not throw it all in a blender and call it a day? So, our Thuadunon are now demoted to fallen angels, or like little angel helpers, to fit into a Christian context. And they call these fallen angels fairies.
Wow.
So we now have our fairies, or fae folk. Now,
Faith.
What's their vibe? Okay, so again, they can be good little angel helpers doing God's will and whatnot, blah, 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 not fun. However, most of the Irish fairy lore warns us against falling for their trickery.
Right. Sounds fun, though, kind of.
So
everybody loves a fairy.
Right?
Come on.
We all love the fairies, but they have some
Tinkerbell
fun things going on. So the fairies have all these little fun rules that often seem kind of random as fuck. And some have some real like historical connections, like to real things that happen. So the fairies are said to be very beautiful or handsome and have the magical ability to live among humans without being noticed. So you might just see like a hot person and be like, fairy? Fairy?
Is that a fairy? Is Jason Momoa a fairy? Maybe.
Yeah, he's a fairy. And they can also... fuck, marry, and kill humans.
Oh, shit.
Usually the fucking ends in death for the human.
No.
And the marrying usually ends in death for the human.
Damn. These fairies, man.
I know.
What's the agenda?
They don't have to choose one of the three. Like
they don't have to. They can just kill, just kill,
marry,
kill.
Marry, fuck, kill all day long.
Yes. So they can have babies with humans. Mm. But often fertility problems are said to occur.
Like with most interbreeding of species, right?
Yes. Yeah. And there's very specific things about this. Female fairies can even have a period, though it is said to occur just twice a year. One
of the reasons that fairies have fertility problems. They're not ovulating every month.
Right. That explains it. Yeah,
that explains it.
Perfect sense.
Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm. If they get pissed off, they can carry children and adults off into the fairy mounds, never to be seen again.
Fuck.
Yep. Fairies are often depicted as fortune tellers because they're magic and can foretell births and deaths. Because the fae folk are so magical, it is best not to offend them, for they have the ability to bring bad luck to your whole family. So
sure. Okay.
So when
not feeling so warm and fuzzy about the fairies. I know.
Do we like them? So I don't know. In order to keep them happy, it's best to leave them the fuck alone.
Got yes. it. Okay.
So there are many fairy mounds or fairy trees or anything that can be interpreted as a gateway to the underworld in Ireland. And
right.
the Irish are very weary of disturbing these places, so much so that these places are known as official monuments or heritage sites and are protected by the government.
I've heard about this. So, like, officially, no one, like, on a popular basis, like, people don't believe in the stuff, you know? Sure. But then there are stories of, like, well, it was time to cut down this tree to build, you know, it's a building site, and then it just keeps not getting cut down. Because it's like, I don't believe in fairies. I'm just not going to be the one to cut down the fairy tree. Like, why does it have to be me? Somebody else. Go ahead.
I'm not going to be the one to fuck with the fairies, though. Yeah. Just in case. Yeah,
I would. They are real. My bases, for sure. Like,
they're going to bring bad luck to my family, maybe. Like, so
anytime I'm making a decision, I'm like, am I going to potentially anger a celestial, you know, a supernatural spirit? Oh, yeah? Take another minute just to think it over.
Yeah. So, if the government is... What was that?
I've seen the movie Leprechaun, and that shit is fucking terrifying, so...
How fucking scary is that movie, dude?
I literally could not sleep for, like, 5 years afterwards. It was, you know, we grew up in the 90s, 2000s, so my dad let me watch that when I was probably 5 years old.
Terrifying. And Raquel and Anne do share the no scary movie vibes.
Oh, fuck that. Yeah, no, I'm good.
I'm not even sure if I'm thinking, is that the leprechaun that ends up going to the hood? Is that like a different... I'm so bad at movie references. You know that one series?
I'm interested in that one. No.
No, he's just like a scary demon leprechaun guy that fucks with people.
Okay, fair enough.
He's very ugly. Yeah.
Yeah, I was reading that the leprechaun is actually... a fairy, right?
Yes. Yeah. And we will get into some fucked up leprechaun shit.
Okay.
So if the government is involved with all this stuff, the fairies must be very powerful and harmful. So what can you do to stay safe? You can make a garland of marigold or primroses for your door. Some wood ashes or a bag of clovers can be worn around your neck. And if you like wearing jewelry made of iron, you're in luck. They can't stand the stuff and will avoid it. So the lucky iron horseshoe hanging above the door thing.
You can thank
the Irish for that. And this iron thing seems to have some real connections to the Iron Age that the Celts were very much involved in. The Iron Age in Europe was around 1000 BC. Let's just call it a long time ago. And, you know, Roman times. And the Romans and the Celts fucking hated each other. Iron was used to make weapons that the Romans and the Celts used to fuck each other up hardcore. War. And an estimated 1 million Celts died from the Romans under Caesar. So that is genocide.
Bummer, dude.
Yeah. So let's get into something nicer. So the Celts did have some victories against Rome. In 1390 BC, way before that, in a battle, the Celts did invade Rome and were basically like, Rome, give us a shit ton of gold and we will leave.
And guess who is said to have this old ass gold? A leprechaun.
Oh, yes. Got it.
They are supposedly buried treasure in Ireland from this war, and the leprechauns are in charge of it and keep it under a rainbow, safe under a rainbow. But then the nice version of where the gold comes from is that leprechauns are shoemakers and just make stacks. So there's really
just
good
hella shoes. They're basically Michael Jordan of the ancient times.
Great shoes. lots of conflicting information. So the leprechauns are known as a type of solitary fairy, but don't piss them off; they'll shave your head.
No, not my locks.
Not everyone's Natalie Portman. It's not a good idea for all of us.
Not all of us have good shaped heads.
No, I'm lumpy over here. I feel it.
I'm like, I don't think I could do it.
I don't think it would be a good idea.
I want to, because I really want to. My thing is, and I hope some of my viewers can commiserate with me. My thing is, I really want to shave my head to just like exfoliate my scalp. I really want to like get in there, get it steamed.
That sounds so nice.
Actually sound nice. I just don't want to deal with hair, and I want to get rid of beauty standards.
I'm done with it. I'm over it. It's so annoying. Whenever I grow it out, I'm like, I'm going to be long, luscious woman. And then immediately, once it gets stuck in my armpit or gets stuck when I'm rolling up the window for my car, that's when you're like, I'm cutting it off today.
That does happen.
You could do it. You could just embrace the wig lifestyle, you know?
A wig. Yeah. We do tote a wig sometimes.
It's very itchy. So itchy.
Do you think, because I've only worn like cheap wigs. Do you think if you got the nice ones, it would be better?
I still think with the nice ones, it's uncomfortable.
I think I'd be shifting it around. People that wear wigs, give us some insight.
Like Amanda Bynes in She's the Man when she's like itching the scalp and the whole wig goes.
The wig comes off.
So good.
Okay, let's get back to the fairy rules. So they're not all that bad. And they can even reward you with gifts if you do something for them. For example, you can actually work for a fairy. If you do a good job for 7 years, you can get a magical gift. So 7 is a lucky number. Yeah, the Irish did that too. However, you need to keep that you work for a fairy on the DL, or else they can curse you with losing your voice. Or they'll just erase your memory altogether, Men in Black style.
Damn.
Erase. Done. Fairies are scary, we never met. There are so many funky rules, you guys. Here's just a list just in case you happen to run into one. So don't eat or drink anything they give you. Never dance with a fairy. Never tell a fairy your full name. Never give a fairy clothing.
Like in Harry Potter.
Oh.
Dobby.
Dobby.
Yeah, Dobby situation. Oh, yeah, then they just follow you around all the time.
Yeah. You have to be polite to them, but don't ever say thank you.
Got it.
You can be grateful, but don't say thank you.
Okay.
And that's just scratching the surface. But why are they stealing my spoons? So here's the thing about my fucking spoon. So let me tell you the story. So I used to live in North Hollywood a few years ago with my husband and a roommate. And Anne got me this fairy door from Ireland for my house to let the fairies in. Because I didn't know how like fucking crazy they were.
Well, yeah, now you know. Thanks a lot, Anne. It's payback for that 7th grade fucking charity work.
Yeah, she gave me a cursed item. So, karma's a bitch. And dude, you guys, I'm super ethereal. My spoon started going missing. And I did not make the connection, and I thought maybe I was accidentally throwing them away, and maybe my roommate was throwing them away, and I was just like,
Dude, yeah, living with people will do that to you. You're like, why the fuck are you doing this to me?
Yeah, I'm like, okay. And right? I remember confronting him about it. I'm like, hey, do you happen to
fuck my spoons
to know where my spoons are going? And he's like, dude, I don't fucking know. I eat pizza every day. What are you talking about? I'm like, and I'm just thinking, like, he's so fucking high. Like, he doesn't know what's going on.
Liar, you're taking
spoons. So I just kept having to buy them. And they're just the spoons, not forks or knives or anything, just spoons specifically. And then I moved to Canoga Park and I put my fairy door up again. And again, I bought these cute spoons, like cute little teaspoons, knowing that, like, okay, they're not going to go missing anymore. I don't have this fucking roommate. I'm still thinking I'm totally blaming my roommate. And, dude, fucking gone. So, like, I don't know. now that I know that fairies can fucking kill you, have my spoons. It's fine. I'll keep buying them. It's okay. If you want them,
a peaceful offering.
Just don't fucking kill me or
they're listening to you, Chelsea.
Sorry. You can have them. Have my spoons. Just don't shave my head. So I looked into it. I looked into, like, why the fuck are fairies stealing my spoons? Of, like, it's the fairies. Sure. It's the fucking fairy door. The fairies are coming and stealing my spoons. Fairies like shiny things, and at least they don't like to steal your money. They just like to steal shiny things like little buttons and paper clips, silverware. They just like shiny shit. So they steal all of my cute little spoons, and that's totally fine.
That's
you can
so
have them.
Cute.
And there are some very specific fairy stories that we all know. Like, for example, the story of Cinderella. So this story is actually about 500 years old, and it's been through many permutations. And you know Cinderella had a fairy godmother that granted her wishes and blah, blah, blah. But the best part of the fucked up version of this story is when the evil shithead stepsisters try to fit into the slipper, they end up cutting off their toes and their heels to fit in the slipper.
Yikes.
And then when Cinderella and the prince inevitably has their wedding, doves swoop down and peck out the stepsister's eyes. So that's Grimm fairy tales for you. So, yes. Anyway, fairies are not to be fucked with. And there's a ton of Irish mythologies that are really fun and fucked up. And that's where a lot of these superstitions come from. Now, the reason that we know a lot of these very specific traditions and superstitions is because Irish families have been passing down these mythologies for centuries. So, Anne, do you have any, like, random family superstitions that you would like to share with the class?
Ooh, let's see.
What's some weird things that we can do for, like, good luck, bad luck, all that stuff?
Gosh, I don't know about luck. I mean, the one thing that comes to mind is my granny saying, stick out your tongue. I can see the black dot on your tongue. I know you're lying. Like,
damn, Anne, with the Irish accent.
But I've heard something
so
else. A friend of mine who is Mexican, he said his mom said, if you don't share your food, you'll get a pimple in your tongue. And I was like, that's pretty close. So I don't know if it's one of those, like, the invention of the wheel, like, everyone had a vibe
of tongue thing.
Yeah. Weird stuff's going to be on your tongue if you're not cool. Because you can't really see it.
Weird things are going to happen to your tongue if you lie.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I did grow up with, like, these, like, books of, like, you know, Irish mythology stories. And a lot of them do have those. I mean, pecking the eye out is rough, but a lot of them do not have happy endings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of them are like body, let's tear up the body. Like, pretty hardcore. And we're going to eat dad. Like, that kind of thing. It's all that kind of thing. I'm like, oh, well, that just took a turn. I thought we were in the forest having a good time.
Yeah. What is this one? And I hate to even bring it up because my very awesome and cool cousin Oshin. I've never pronounced his name correctly. I'm so sorry. I don't know why I'm still saying it wrong. I don't get it. But like, there's a story about Oisin and Niamh, where they're famous lovers, right? And they lived in the land of Tir na n Og, where you stay young forever, and it's like beautiful and amazing. But right. he was feeling, I don't know, some peer pressure to like go visit the real world, and or I don't know, he just liked to check things out, keep an eye out for the tea.
Just curious, just wanted to see.
And he like runs into some guys who are trying to move a big boulder, and then he's like, ah, I'll help you. I'm super strong and cool, and have really nice, strong legs, just like my cousin. Not to make it weird.
Okay.
No, this is like a whole – the last time I was hanging out with my cousins, his sister was giving him a hard time about things. And she's like, "What? I give him loads of compliments. I was just saying how nice his legs look." So the rest of the trip, whatever. He's probably in good shape, I guess. But like – we love to be creepy with our humor amongst cousins. Cousins are like the fun where it's like, oh, you know, I don't get to see you too often. The love is there. Let's like – make it weird, you know?
Blur the lines a little bit.
Yeah. You have to be normal. We're related. That's gross. but so, yeah. So then Oisin, like, leans down off his horse to help lift a boulder, but he accidentally touches the earth. And then because he touched the earth, it means he goes back to, like, aging normally, which means he, like, instantly, like, withers and dies. And so his poor lover, Niamh. And the best part about this to me is that my cousin is Oisin and his sister is named Niamh.
Yeah.
So they're famous, you know, mythological lovers. And so I've definitely like seen it happen where we're like, yeah, we're meeting someone and it's like, oh, wow, how beautiful that you two found each other and you have these names. Mm-hmm. And they're like, no, please stop it. It's so gross.
We're siblings. We're,
no, actually, no, don't.
Craziness. Well, we do have a fantastic holiday coming up, St. Patrick's Day. Your green, get your rainbows, get your beer, all the things.
Get your food coloring out, dye everything green.
But who the fuck is St. Patrick, though?
Why do we give a shit? ASL St. Patrick.
ASL St. Patrick. 18, Cali. F for female.
No, and it's actually funny because I was reading, like, there's a lot of stories with St. Patrick. And one of the stories, like, is incorporated into the story you just told, Anne. Oh, wow. So there's a version of the story where St. Patrick, like, meets with Oisin.
Look, Oisin. I'm not even it's so funny. I grew up calling him Oisin, and everyone laughed at me because I'm – it's, you know, it's like Usher. They say it's like Usher. So instead of an O, it's like an uh.
Oisin.
Just say, I just say it fast Oisin. And nervously, Oisin. And then people make fun of me because I'm still like, doing it wrong. Oisin.
We'll just call him Oisin.
Oisin.
Well, there's a version of that story where it's like he runs into St. Patrick, and St. Patrick has a battle of the wits with him while he's holding the boulder and like bores him to death.
Oh my God,
something
spicy.
Like that. There's, yeah, what? So St. Patrick.
He bores him to death.
Yeah, so like, Saint he, Patrick like, has boring. A battle of the wits, and then Oisin can't be, like, you know, outwitted or whatever, and touches the earth and dies, because the earth, like, causes him to age.
Wow. I thought they were both, like, heroes. It's interesting that they would have been on opposite ends of this. That's so funny.
Well,
the blender thing.
Again, you know, because these were oral. orally. There's a lot of oraling with the history here. There's a lot of different versions of the story, but I'll start out at the beginning because that's like a natural place to start. So St. Patrick, who, why the fuck do we care? So he was actually born in Britain. He was not Irish in 460 AD. So we're talking like 1600 years ago. Okay. And he was a rich kid. He's born into, like, a wealthy family. Uh-huh. So at 16, he's just, like, chilling like it's any other day, probably playing with some sticks or whittling wood. Like, I don't know what they did back in the day for fun.
Running from the play.
I just picture, yeah, I just picture, like, him, like, rolling a rock, you know, trying to keep himself amused. If it were me, I'd be like writing notes to boys and trying to find the next culty party because we're still in pagan era, but he's not like that. So when he's chilling on his family estate, the estate is attacked by Irish invaders and St. Patrick is actually kidnapped and taken back to Ireland to become a slave. Okay. So, yeah, not the best introduction to Ireland. Sort of like, how the fuck do you end up becoming the patron saint? Wow. If it were me, I probably would have some resentment, some like deep-seated anger towards Irish people maybe. But, you know, God has a way of doing weird things to people in this time. And so he gets a vision from God, and God's like, dude, you got to go back to Britain. Like, you got to get the fuck out of Ireland. So St. Patrick makes his way to the coast after being a slave for like 6 years, and he's about to get on this ship. But the captain didn't like his like monotheistic look.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm a pagan captain. So we got to remember this time, Christianity is not wildly popular. And so the pagan captain's like, suck my nipples. Yes, you need to suck my nipples. Come on, my guy, you got to do it. You want to get on my boat, right?
You have to what?
Show me that I'm your captain by sucking my nipples.
No. This sounds like fan fiction to me. I'm so confused.
No, it's like,
okay.
No, this is like a thing, I guess, to like assert dominance or like be like, you're my captain. Well, Patty was not kinky like that and refuses. He's like, I'm not fucking sucking your nipples.
Sucking your nipples,
dude. Oh, no, he's not a queer icon. You know what? I'm disappointed.
I know. I'm kind of disappointed that it didn't turn into like an erotic.
Try it. Try it once. You got to try everything once.
Yeah. Well, Patrick does make it back to England anyway and does a bunch of like religious training and blah, 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 blah. And then he gets a vision from God again of being like, you need to go back to Ireland now that you've done your religious training, you know, and like save all these people. So Patrick, and this is where like the lore of the story really begins. So nipples weren't enough for you. So I'll just share a few stories because there are many. So they say he's the one that introduced Christianity to Ireland, effectively like saving the Irish people. Yeah. And the thing that he does to, like, it's been pretty much disproven. Like, no, Christianity was already there. Mm. But the thing that he does do, he's like, I'm not a regular priest. I'm like a cool priest. I'm going to take your Irish cultures and traditions and like interweave them with Christianity.
Yeah.
So we do see the introduction of the pagan sun into the cross, and that's the Celtic cross.
Oh,
so cool. That he merges, like, he's like, oh, you want a sun? I'll get you a sun in with God. It's cool. I'll get it. So like, that's where you see, and the pagan cross or the Celtic cross is just a cross with a circle in the center.
Yeah.
So rumor has it that St. Patrick used the clover to explain the Holy Trinity to the Irish people. Like, he's like, oh, they can relate to this, like, plant. It's here. I'm going to use it. That's great. And so then he tells people, if you find a four-leaf clover, then that means, boom, you are the second coming of Christ. So it makes people feel very important.
Yeah.
Modern day just makes people feel very lucky.
Not just like, oh, here's a little bit of luck for you. It's nope. It's
you're the second coming of Christ. you are the guy. Let me tell you.
Wow.
Well, this has been kind of like disproven because this is again an oral story. Oral. Well, it's actually like we see the clover introduced in the 1600s by an English traveler who goes to Ireland. And he's, like, fucking ragging on the Irish, like, a total asshole, and goes to a St. Patrick's Day feast, and there's a quote from him, "The vulgar superstitiously wear shamrocks, three leaves grass, which they likewise eat, they say, to cause a sweet breath. Very few of the zealous are found sober at night. So yeah, fuck that guy. Drink your Guinness. Live your truth. Keep calm. Party on. Fuck him.
What else are you supposed to do back then besides playing? You can play with sticks all night. Like,
I mean, honestly. Sticks and drink. Like, right?
Rude.
Yeah. Rude.
So there's also a rumor that St. Patrick banned all the snakes from Ireland, yes. And that's the reason that there's no snakes on Ireland. The legend has it that he decided one Lent to do his fasting on top of this, like, mountain situation. But when he gets to the top, there's, like, a shit ton of crows preoccupying the sky, and they start flying around above him. And there's so many that the sky turns black. And while Patrick keeps praying and praying and ringing a bell for some reason, and the crows are obviously satanic demons, until finally God grants the Irish people salvation on Judgment Day. So he's like effectively saving the Irish because of the crows. And then gets like a shit ton of adrenaline, I guess, and runs down the mountain and scares all the snakes into the ocean.
Oh. Wow. All of them.
And they never come back again. All right. But all right. We can thank science for this one, because science says that there's no archaeological evidence of snakes ever having crossed the land bridge onto prehistoric Ireland. So...
Well, yeah. Okay.
But believe what you want. I mean, God, you know, God, mysterious ways, whatever, blah, blah, blah.
So mysterious. So I had a version of this. I grew up with, like, a book about this. So sure. My version, I don't know if this is big orally or not, but it's this, like, cartoon snake that keeps coming back to the side of the cliff. And and St. Patrick's like, no, come back tomorrow. And he's like, okay, it comes back tomorrow. And then it comes back. And he's like, okay, it's tomorrow. He's like, nope, tomorrow's tomorrow. It's just really just that stupid pun.
What a fucker.
I don't know. And this little snake, he's like, I just want to. He's got little goggles on. He just wants to come back and hang out. But yeah, so I don't know. Hero or villain. Who's to say?
Yeah. Honestly, a lot of these stories could go either way.
Seriously.
But I like that version too. St. Patrick was a petty bitch though. Ooh. So I will say, like, that pettiness goes really nicely into our next story. And this last one's my favorite. So St. Patrick supposedly goes into a bar one night and orders a glass of whiskey. And the bartender gives him a light pour, not filling the glass all the way to the top.
Bitch.
Yeah, and St. Patrick is fucking pissed. He's like, dude, listen, you need to fill the glass all the way up. This is enough whiskey. You're a fucking liar, 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 and a thief. So then from that point on, moving forward, the bartender was sure to fill the glass full, and all Irish people supposedly follow suit with very full glasses of alcohol. Okay. And this may be the reason why they get the reputation of being, like, drinkers.
Yeah.
But listen, like, my guy, fill up the fucking glass. It's, like, come on.
It's my religion for you to fill this all the way with booze.
Irish people invented filling your glass. I love it. One more for the books.
Oh, my God. Wow. Yes.
So on this St. Patty's, be sure to fill your glasses full.
Yeah, bartenders, come on.
Cheers went out for St. Patty's. That's a good
Seriously.
One.
Seriously.
Oh. But yeah, we hope you leave this a little more schmeducated.
A little bit.
The schmamrocks.
A little bit more afraid of your little Tinkerbell over here is going to fuck up your life. So,
I will,
like,
never
be cool.
Look at her the same way again.
Seriously. Yes. Yeah. Be afraid. Yeah. They're not to be fucked with. But I do like wearing green and drinking beer and the sparkles and the rainbows. So,
I mean, important. I think it's, to respect the heritage. Well, what seems to be, like, growing in popularity in Ireland is St. Bridget's feast day, because that's a little more, like, feminist icon-y, and she's got some, like, good lore, and she's, like tied into the pagan roots and the nature stuff, you know. But I feel like you don't have to love Patrick himself to just love the vibe of like, is everything I'm eating and drinking, like, could it be green? Like, can I participate at that level? Like, yeah. You can. You are welcome. Like, that's one thing that I love about Irish culture and how it's been exported everywhere around the world. We are all invited to this party. You can have some corned beef and just, like, be included in it. And it's all good. And,
yeah. You don't need to be Irish to subscribe. Yeah. It's like, no, we'll share it. It's okay.
Yeah.
It's all right.
I love it. Yeah. I love it too. This was a fun one.
Yeah, this was a fun one.
Well, thank you, Anne, for giving us your insights on your funky Irish family.
Oh, it was so much fun hanging out with you guys.
Yes. Now, did you want to tell our viewers anything else? You've got like Instagram and all that stuff.
Oh my God. Anne does like awesome like photography.
Oh no.
I love it.
She does have like a fun low-key Instagram if you're interested.
Thank you so much for being one of my 10 followers.
Oh my God.
What the heck? Literally. Yeah. Surface_tension. Look at us. We're getting famous. I just like to take really close-up pictures of like sidewalks and stuff. It's important. But it's like a personal like image diary that I don't know. I just miss. You know what I miss? Like we grew up in the era when like Facebook and social media was for you to be drunk and stupid on the internet with your friends. And now it's this public image.
R.I.P. Vine.
It's like, what do I want to say to all my future employers? Absolutely nothing. Yeah. You know? Yeah. So I think it's important to remain creative and silly on the internet.
Weird.
And so that's what I'm attempting to do by taking really close-up pictures.
Yeah, I know. I feel it. And it's so true. Like, honestly, now social media just, like, gets ingrained with your identity. I think there's, like, a Black Mirror episode on that. Where this girl goes like progressively insane because every time she makes any action, it's a detractor on her like, what is a social media website? Because it gets that close to home of like, you know, her deciding to go to her brother's party or not, like turns into like a 5-star, 4-star rating. Like that's how we're rated.
Ooh, yeah.
And it speaks so well to where we're at is like, this actually feels like how I'm rated by everybody else and can even affect your career, which is really terrifying. I hope nobody finds this at my job.
I know. I have some students that listen, and it's like, I only give this information to the ones that I'm like, okay, listen. Like, I'm going to be a little bit different than I am in the classroom on this thing.
But you know what? Like, that's what I love about listening to your podcast, and, like, it's so much fun to, like, have a little participation moment because hearing you guys talk, like, it just feels real. Like, you're not out here trad-wifing, being like, look at my perfect bundt cake.
Oh, man.
Like, you can make a bundt cake if you want. I'm not coming for them. I'm just saying. Yeah.
No, make your bundt cake.
Yeah.
Like, I wish I could be a little more like that.
Yeah.
No. Like, I don't want to clean behind my refrigerator. I want to do that.
Dream.
But I won't.
Oh, thanks, Anne.
I'll make my husband do it.
But yeah, it's just fun to be in like have the feeling of like being in part of an honest, accessible conversation where everyone's bringing what they've got, and it's not like it doesn't have to feel like a performance of status. You know what I mean? You can just just enjoy the bundt cake for what it is.
Yeah,
literally, we are on the ground eating the bundt cake off of the floor in this
with the fork, that's no plates
with the fork.
Just dig in there.
All right. Oh, Anne, I'm so glad you're here. Oh, and I'm so glad all of our listeners are here. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, guys.
We fucking love you.
All right. Well, check out our Instagram, baroque.b.podcast. Check out our website. We got stickers. Check out our Patreon.
Go on the Instagram. Go on the thing. Do a 5-star rating.
Do a 5-star review. But with all that being said,
we love you. Come on, Ian.
We love you.
Bye.